Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming up this hour here on the show in 20 minutes, Canadian bacon. The night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mraz is going to have to eat some crow on this one. And in 40 minutes, Major League Baseball's black eye this week as managers, GMs, pitchers, and hitters all feud with one another as the Clown Prince commissioner stands with his hands on his hips and watches without any answers. That's all coming up this hour on the show. Last night, the Atlanta Hawks with a very impressive Game 1 victory on the road in Milwaukee. Trae Young was phenomenal. 48 points, 11 assists, and 2. Did you see what he just did? Highlights on the night. Left so open at the top of the three-point arc, he sat there, stared it down, and then shoulder shimmied before he drained a three and drove the lane and threw a lob off glass to John Collins, who rim-rattled it home. Just unbelievable athleticism and playmaking and panache from Trae Young. And we've got ourselves a burgeoning villain in the NBA. At this point, he's really not burgeoning. He is here and cemented. Impressive stuff from the Hawks. Great showmanship from Trae Young. And the Bucks are left scrambling for answers again. I'm certainly not discounting the Bucks from coming back and winning this series, because if the Nets series told us anything, it's that the Bucks can't be killed. It's that it's not going to be because they just fold or roll over because of a bad loss or a bad situation or being embarrassed once. They came back from so much in that Brooklyn series and each and every time answered the bell when it had to be answered, including an overtime of Game 7. So this is just the start of a potentially long series, but it's a very impressive first step for the Hawks as a franchise in Atlanta. They had never even won a conference finals game. Props to the Hawks. Much more on that as we make our way through the morning. Another basketball story yesterday was the hiring of a new head coach in Boston. Guess it wasn't Rick Carlisle, as the Boston Celtics end up hiring assistant coach on many very impressive benches, Ime Udoka. Now, this is a guy that has plenty of respect around the league. He has been an assistant coach for Greg Popovich. He has also been on the Brooklyn Nets bench as well. Adoka is an impressive dude. The Celtics like him. Brad Stevens likes him. And so now he is entrusted with being the guy on the bench, on the sideline for a Celtics franchise, which is trying to find its own answers this offseason. And so Jay Williams, who was a high draft pick of the NBA, a star at Duke at point guard, and now an analyst for ESPN. You would hear him not only mornings on their television coverage, but also on their radio coverage as well, tweets out the first head coach of color for the Celtics. And even more importantly, he is one talented individual who has paid his dues. Now, undoubtedly, Adoka has paid his dues. He's been an assistant coach and a well-respected one for a long time. And props to anybody that waits in the wings, plies their trade, learns from the greats, and then finally gets their chance. You know, I love stories like that. And I think we can all appreciate that in sports. When somebody's been grinding for a while, either a player or a coach, a general manager, what have you, finally get their shot to show what they can do after, you know, years upon years upon years of learning the trade. So more power to Adoka, and we'll see how he does. But there's one kind of tiny, maybe not that big a deal problem with the Jay Williams tweet. You see, Adoka is not exactly the first coach of color for the Celtics. I mean, maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but before Brad Stevens was Doc Rivers. Yeah, so. Oh, and before Doc Rivers, you might remember like one of the greatest players ever who was the first African-American head coach of the NBA, Bill Russell. He was a player and coach for the Celtics as well. And they won a couple of titles with him. Oh, and you might remember the Larry Bird era where they won three championships in the 80s. And a pair of those happened under Casey Jones. So, ML Carr was also a head coach of the Celtics. Oh, and I almost forgot another Celtics legend. Satch Sanders was also an African-American head coach of the Celtics. So not that we're keeping a scoreboard here, but that would make Adoka the sixth coach of color on a Celtics sideline. So, you know. Look, Boston gets a bad rap for race relations, and maybe the Doc Rivers Clippers era and Doc Rivers Sixers era has made people forget about the Doc Rivers Celtics era really quick, and maybe you had never heard of Satch Sanders, and maybe you forgot ML Carr, and maybe you didn't realize it was Casey Jones on the sideline because it was Bird and McHale and Parrish that get all the accolades, and maybe you just thought of Bill Russell as a player. But if you're Jay Williams, you kind of have to do just a quick Google search of this, because it wasn't like he missed one or a guy 50 years ago. He missed five of them, including one guy that was within the decade. So this was a cringe-worthy tweet. And I had to have some fun at his expense as well because, you know, Jay does a radio show that airs in the mornings as well across the country. And I just happened to remind him that if he would tune into the DA show every so often during his commercial breaks, he would have realized that Satch Sanders and Casey Jones and ML Carr were former Celtics head coaches because I've had them all on my show. At one stop or another, the DA show has had Satch Sanders, Casey Jones, and ML Carr on the program. So, not a mistake I would have made. I might have been wrong on what Nate McMillan could bring to the table with the Atlanta Hawks. but I certainly did not hear or see what I or think when I heard of the Udoka hiring. I did not think, oh, wow, the Celtics finally have an African-American head coach. Nope, knew that wasn't the case. Knew that was not a pioneer in that realm. Now, Mraz, this was a huge story yesterday. Huge. This overtook social media. You did not include it in the topic list. Was that because you were worried about media-on-media crime?
Yes, and also knowing damn well that he has a show that may or may not be heard at the same time as us. It felt like something we swim away from and not do, but hey, I'm all here for it if you want to do it, especially from the fact that the best part after was he doubled down and said he changed his passcode.
Oh, I haven't even gotten there yet. Okay.
All right. I didn't know if you were aware of that part of it.
I haven't even gotten there yet because it only enhances the ridiculousness.
Okay, never mind.
The reason why I think that this is absolutely on the table to pick apart is that Jay Williams isn't only a competitor of ours. He's also a widely well-regarded basketball analyst on television. He's also a guy that played in the NBA. He's also a Duke standout. I mean, Jay Williams has been around the basketball block. He's a guy that's been front and center in basketball for many, many years. And he's pretty well-regarded. And so you hear this and you're just like, this is the easiest fact check of all time. It doesn't take much. It's one thing to be wrong on opinions. Look, we're all wrong on opinions, and I'm never going to get after somebody like a Jay Williams that usually doesn't do the hot take thing. I mean, sometimes he does, which is kind of ridiculous, but most of the time he doesn't. And just be like, hey, he was wrong on that hire, that fire, that prediction, that draft pick or whatever. It's another thing to say something like the Celtics have never had a coach of color when Doc Rivers was on the sideline 7 seasons ago. I mean, to me, Mraz, this is slightly mind-boggling that you wouldn't, before you had this take, just quickly do a Google search.
And the only way I could possibly defend him, because you had to have got that from somewhere, right? You don't just make that up and tweet that the moment you see the news. Was there some kind of fake Twitter that he fell for that he read and came up in his timeline that said he will be the first, you know, Boston Celtics head coach of color? Like, there has to be a reason that Jay Williams went with that.
Well, I think that because Brad Stevens has been there for a while, because the Boston Celtics have a very whitewashed reputation, that the inclination would be the Celtics have never had a black head coach. That's probably some people's first instincts. That's not probably only Jay Williams' first instinct. You think about race relations, you think about Boston, you look at Brad Stevens, and you just kind of assume, well, they probably have never had a black head coach before. I mean, now, again, Doc Rivers is not long ago,
yeah,
but Doc Rivers is two teams ago. So maybe you even aren't thinking about Doc Rivers. And the other guys that I mentioned are back in the early 90s and before. Many people haven't heard of Satch Sanders as a head coach. Casey Jones is one of those rare guys that won multiple titles in the NBA and people don't remember him as the head coach. You remember Pat Riley, head coach of the Lakers. You remember John Daly, head coach of the Pistons. You remember Phil Jackson, head coach of the Bulls. If I asked most NBA fans who were the coaches that Larry Bird won titles with, most would not say Bill Fitch and Casey Jones. So these might be forgettable names in some ways. I just think he just didn't think about it and then didn't Google it. I don't think he got it from anywhere. I just think he didn't think about it.
But that's a pretty big meatball just to tweet on instinct and not look up and do a little research.
Oh, aren't you the king of tweeting on instinct?
I am, but I would think in this age, race relations stuff is something, if you're going to tackle, there needs to be real research done and not just wing it. I mean, he did give you the fist emoji, like that's a big deal. Just look it up if you don't know, and I find it hard to believe that Jay Williams, from this era, could possibly forget Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Well,
like, that's kind of unforgivable. I don't care how many stops Doc Rivers has made since. He won a freaking title in this era with the Boston Celtics.
Well, The best case scenario is, as you said, somebody else tweeted this and he just took it and ran with it without thinking, because then Jay Williams deleted the tweet, waited 3 hours, and at 7:37 last night had the gall to tweet, as it relates to the Boston Celtics tweet that came from my account a couple of hours ago, I did not post that, and my passcode has now been changed.
Oh, Jay Williams.
I had respect for you before this, but the dog ate my homework, my account has been hacked excuse is the worst excuse, because in this instance, if you were a hacker and could hack into people's Twitter accounts, would one of your practical jokes or one of your reasons for hacking be, I'm going to send an inaccurate tweet about the coaches that have coached the Boston Celtics from Jay Williams' account? Is that really what a hacker would do? Is that like, gotcha, Jay? I mean, of all the things a hacker would do, it would be celebrating the hire of the Boston Celtics. Be like, wait till you see what I do to Jay Williams' account. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to totally get him by celebrating a head coach hired by the Celtics. Like, no, that's not what people prank tweet about. We know this. We have had many years of prank tweets. It's not this. And then, you know how else I know it's a lie? So that Jay Williams had the gall to tweet, my passcode has now been changed.
Oh.
Oh, well, okay, great, Jay. Well, now I feel so much more secure in your tweets, because prior to Wednesday afternoon, I was wondering what your passcode was and how recently you had changed it. I was wondering what your secret answer was to what your high school mascot was or what your mom's middle name was. I was kind of wondering, had you checked that on your Chase banking account as well? Oh, now your passcode has changed? Oh, okay, great. Like, when you get hacked, if you get hacked, your response isn't, oh, and don't worry, world, now I've changed my passcode, that won't happen again. I mean, Mraz, this is just the worst excuse ever for the biggest L you could take.
Right, and to double up on how you know, how we know Jay Williams is lying, nobody calls a Twitter password a passcode either. Nope. Your passcode is how you get into your phone. Nope. So unless somebody actually stole your phone with your Twitter logged in and then hacked your passcode there, but then at that point, why would you even need to change your passcode? You'd have your phone back. He's not saying that happened. And also, we know how people who actually hack Twitters work. When you hack a Twitter, it's, oh my goodness, I can't believe I got in. And you go right to tweeting something stupid to do whatever.
Totally bonkers. That kind of like throws everybody for a loop. Like,
right.
I can't believe that that guy would say that. Or, you know, it's something obviously pretty extraordinary,
right,
or obnoxious.
Off the wall. So you mean to tell me that people who have been attempting to hack into Jay Williams' Twitter managed to get in the moments following a Boston Celtics hire, and they come up with what seems like a very realistic tweet and not something even more crazy, including the use of emojis? There's no possible way people who hack Twitters do that and the timing lines up and that's what they have. We know the kind of people. The Bayou Bear is the kind of guy who hacks a Twitter. That's not what they do in that spot. This is such a blatant lie.
You know, the person that hacks Jay Williams' Twitter goes in there and breaks fake news. Like, I heard this is happening, or look for this firing, or, you know, LeBron James is retiring, or something like that. That's what hackers do when they get into accounts of celebrities or people in the media or news, or they, you know, they leak crude photos or something like that. What they don't do is tweet, and he's one talented individual who has paid his dues, three applause emojis. That's certainly not the hacker's game plan, is to celebrate the hiring of a head coach. So, Jay, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, but you just have to own it. Like, yeah, you know what? I didn't do my research, and I got to take the L on this one. But the, oh, and I changed my passcode. Don't worry, everybody. You don't have to worry about this again, is just too much. Now, speaking of the use of Twitter and how it can come back to bite you, boy, Mraz has written a book on this. And last night was just more of it because he tried. He tried so hard to make fun of the Islanders, to make fun of Upside Down Mike, to make fun of Peter Schwartz, and all of those, in his mind, lowly, sewer-dwelling, creepy-crawly Islander schmucks that are all around his hometown, all around his home state, and all around his social circle. His Rangers are at home, have been. They fire their head coach. Dysfunction now. He's worried about it coming back to the Rangers. James Dolan sticking his finger where it shouldn't. And he's watching the Islanders go on a run, so much so that Bob at Bob's Bar won't even allow Islanders fans to watch these games at Bob's Bar anymore. They're so bitter that the Islanders are still playing and the Rangers are home. And so Mraz, seeing a chance to stick the knife in the Islanders, tweets last night, "Sad to see the Nassau Coliseum close forever. Many great memories from Rangers wins to Spice Girl concerts to the circus there growing up. A piece of my childhood is gone." Mraz not only taking the knife to stick it in that the Islanders will lose Game 6, thus closing out their time playing in that arena, but also many great memories like Rangers wins. So he took two direct shots at the Islanders and their fans last night with the tweet. And in classic exploding cigar Mraz fashion, the Islanders had the last laugh, and so did Islanders fans. And on top of it, so did I, because it wasn't even factually correct. It's coming up next as part of Canadian Bacon and America's Got Bacon, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
God, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA show.
I feel alive! Ah, ah, ah!
Ah, ah, ah! A game six with the Islanders one loss away from elimination last night at Nassau Coliseum. Mraz was hoping for an Islanders loss to eliminate New York and to allow him to once again gloat. However, the Isles had something else in mind. Mraz, take it away.
All right, DA. The Lightning were looking to advance to their second straight Stanley Cup final on Wednesday night and had an ominous start to Game 6 when their leading scorer, Nikita Kucherov, was cross-checked by Scott Mayfield on the first shift of the game. He left injured and did not return. Tampa would pretend nothing was wrong, jumping out to a 2-0 lead midway through the second period. tensions got hot, D.A. The pressure was mounting on the New York Islanders to give Peter Schwartz his free tickets money's worth. Jordan Eberle would cut the lead to 2-1. Then, in the third period, Scott, not Baker Mayfield, would strike the Iceman pose.
Held in by Pelech, left point for Barzal. Cutting to the high slot, finds Mayfield going to the net. Shoot! He scores!
Scotty does know. The goal tied the game and set up an insane final 5 minutes of regulation that included a clinic of a penalty kill by the Islanders. We went to overtime, where it wouldn't take long for Anthony to coal fire one into the oven.
Letty wrists it in around the wall in the Tampa end, far side to near. Lightning reverse it, near side to far, but give it away. Bailey couldn't hold his own. Turnover in tight. Quick shot. He
That was Chris King passing away on the Islanders radio network. Anthony Beauvillier, sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man. 68 seconds into the extra period, forcing a winner-take-all game seven back in Tampa Bay on Friday night. After the game, Bo knows he wanted to send the Islander fans home happy.
Message was simple. Just stick with what we do best. Just, you know, a hardworking team that, you know, resilient. And we found a way to win, which is just huge for us. And, I can't believe the building right now. It's crazy. So everyone's happy, and I get to go to Tampa for Game 7.
That courtesy of NBC Sports Network. If the Lightning win a Game 7, Beauvillier's goal will be the last memory of the Islanders playing in Nassau Coliseum with their new building that may or may not smell like horse manure ready to open at Belmont Racetrack, home of the Belmont Stakes. Game 7 Friday night, and that is your Canadian bacon.
Oink, oink. Oink, oink. Oink, oink. Oink, oink.
All right, time oink, now oink. For America's Got Bacon, where we grade out the puns. Anthony, coal-fired one to the oven. Mraz, that is a top three pun that you've ever had on Canadian bacon.
Thank you. I always love when we start with the positive before I get assaulted, so I appreciate that very much.
It was smart. It was sharp. It was a good pun. You didn't overwork it, over-engineer it. I thought it was really, really good. Bogues, I think that's some of his best work this postseason.
Yeah, Dan Marino's very proud of that mention. My only question would be, is that national enough of a pizza chain that everyone in the audience got? It's not Domino's, not Pizza Hut. I got it. You got it. I saw one the other day, but does everyone know what that is? But otherwise, it worked out perfectly.
Okay. It's fair. I always am a supporter of a Schwartz joke. So making fun of Schwartz's free tickets, getting your money's worth of Schwartz's free tickets, always going to get a chuckle out of me. What'd you think about that, Bogues?
Yeah, like that one too. Nice and quick. It was tricky word-wise, but you handled that well as well.
Thank you.
I also like the very kind of understated Scotty does know. That's a reference to Scotty doesn't know, which is a great movie scene. I really like that. Again, it was understated. He didn't build it up into something that it wasn't. Bogues, I was a fan of that.
Yeah, so far so good. Short and sweet on all of these things. No nine-paragraph lead-in that's taking us in four different directions. Right to the point, and they're so far so good.
The Coochie Coochie Kucherov, I'm not crazy about. I thought it was a little too much of a stretch, a little too wacky. I didn't love it, Bogues.
Yeah, but all things considered, who cares? I mean, so he's rolling along here. That would be nitpicking. I didn't love it either, but it was fine.
Can I ask you something? If I would have went with a La Femme Nikita, would you have gotten the reference?
Great.
No, I don't think I would have.
So La Femme Nikita was a show that used to be a lead-in to Monday Night Raw in the 90s on USA or whatever channel it was.
Yes.
And I was thinking about using that all night last night when Kucherov got hurt. And I said, you know what? I think that's going to fall on deaf ears. So I'm going to throw it back and get goofy with the Coochie Coochie Coo.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I would have picked up on that, but that would have been very clever. What does the Mayfield Iceman pose mean? I know that you tweeted about this as well. What am I missing here?
The Heisman pose, the Iceman pose, Baker Mayfield, Scotty Mayfield.
Oh, God.
I got this one. I liked it.
Heisman doesn't rhyme with Iceman.
Close enough.
Thank you.
What is an Iceman?
Nothing. It's a hockey player on ice.
Yeah, well,
why do you like this then, Bogues, if it doesn't really rhyme and it's not a thing?
Because it's close enough. That's not to be perfect rhyme, but it was good enough to me. And so, because at first I didn't like not Baker Mayfield on its own, but the payoff was the Iceman pose. I got it right away. I thought that was good. I liked that one.
The Iceman pose, Merez?
Yeah. And by the way, I workshopped it on Twitter last night. It got some minimal reaction, and I said I'm going to work it into the show today.
Yeah, I saw it last night on Twitter. I'm like, I don't even get this joke. What is this?
Oh, boy. Well, you telling me you didn't get it would have helped before I wrote it in the script last night. Thanks for the response.
But you got a win from Bogues. And then
thank you.
Finally, why did you write in pretend nothing was wrong? What was that reference to?
I got to find this in my script. I don't even know what you're talking
about. It was after Kucherov's injury. They pretended nothing was wrong.
Because in other words, they just lost their best player, and they still jumped out to a 2-0 lead. That's all it was saying.
So that wasn't a pun.
No, that wasn't a pun. That was just trying to tell the story of the game. And trying to rebound off my coochie-coochie-coo to get us back on track.
Pretending nothing was wrong. Okay. All right. Well, then all told, I mean, this is probably... What?
The best one I thought you were going to like. You don't even comment on?
The horse manure?
No. After the game, Bo knows. He wanted to send the Islanders fans home happy.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
That's in your wheelhouse of Bo Jackson.
It is, but...
That was for you.
All right. I mean, it was fine. To me, it was hitting one of two from the free throw line. It's almost like, why even bother mentioning it? It's a Bo Knows reference.
Yes, his name is Beauvillier. I gave you a Bo Jackson in your wheelhouse of your high and mighty growing up sports times, and you stiff me on a, hey, I really like that, Merez. That was actually a birthday gift for you. We didn't get to celebrate last week, and I come out Thursday, and I say, you know what? He went short and sweet with the jokes. Don't write the jokes before you write the script. I totally changed the way I approached Canadian bacon today, and I came up with Bo Knows on the fly as I'm typing and say, this is DA's birthday present. And then you insult me and rip through six puns and don't even mention it?
Well, I appreciate the sentiment if this really was done for me. I love Bo Jackson, so I appreciate you knowing how much I love Bo Jackson. I guess I just needed a little bit more meat on the bone with the reference, like Bo Knows post-game, and then maybe reference to like snapping a bat over his knee or trucking through Brian Bosworth or something.
No, because when I do that and I over-reference, you crush me for over-referencing. You say short and sweet. I give you a short and sweet Bo Jackson reference, and you basically shove your thumb up my new year. You know what? I mean, what are you doing?
Okay, all right.
I'm sticking to what you want. Come on.
Well, I'm telling you, this was your best Canadian bacon.
Thank you.
I thought that the Bo Knows wasn't notable enough to bring up, but maybe I'm wrong on this. Bogues, was this a great pun by Merez?
No, I think I agree with you on that it didn't stand out where it needed to be lauded on its own. Like, it was good. It was fine. It was somewhat obvious off of Beauvillier. And it happened, but it wasn't debatable. It was there. It was good. It was fine. But it wasn't like, did we like it? Did we not like it? It was there.
That's fine. But then don't double down on the insult when I bring up not mention the best one. Then you go, oh, what, the horse manure line? Like you doubled down and skipped over the Bo Knows line.
Eli doesn't like it either.
I try to do something nice for everybody. I can't win.
Well, this was, I think, your best of the postseason. Bogues, would you agree?
I would, and normally you like to tell us that it's going to be your best one and how good it was. And this one, there was no real advance warning, and I thought, all things considered, this was your best one. Maybe there had been singular better jokes in other places, but there were no lows in this one at all, and it was consistent and it was good.
Yes.
All
right. That's
so
exactly right.
I should stick with this writing style? Is that what you guys think I should do?
I think so. I think this is working for you. Pete, do you think that the Bo Knows reference deserves more credit?
No, I think it got enough credit when it was said.
Okay.
It didn't need to be on a pedestal.
Yeah, right. So, okay, so we all agree. We're all in consensus.
But I thought it was his best one.
Timeout. I'm not asking for a pedestal. Just a little bit of an acknowledgement.
Relax.
I mean, we're going through
saying it's your best one.
All right.
Come on. Take the credit, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. We all three of us are saying it's your best Canadian bacon, and yet you are still angry we're not more complimentary.
When you put it like that, you make me look like a selfish jerk. I get it, but it's fine. You're right. I'm just going to need to cool down next break. I'll be okay.
Now, let's also tackle this. Making fun of the Islanders, closing down Nassau Coliseum, Rangers wins are your favorite memories of Nassau Coliseum. Bogues, I found this highly unnecessary from him last night, looking to troll the Islanders fans and ending up egg on his face with the Islanders winning in overtime. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, at least wait until they lose to be annoying and a jerk. Like, you can't do it beforehand. And the bigger picture is, this all stems back to you, like, thinking that you're above all of this and, like, better than all of this, like, taking shots at Schwartz and whomever else, when you're the exact same person, just in a different mode and a method. Like, you get mad at me for liking Dave Matthews. You were mad last week at people who like to watch the Olympics. But you do all these insane things that no one else likes to do. I mean, you think your flag football league is a mini version of the NFL. That's okay.
It is.
But then nothing else that anybody else likes is okay. So, like, again, it's just about, like, knowing your role, at least picking a better time to be a pig.
Also, yesterday, Upside Down Mike tweeted, like, a pregame game six. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm extremely ready. I can't wait for game six. And Mraz retweeted this and said, season's over. And then last night said this is the closing of Nassau Coliseum. Sad to see it close forever tonight. It's not closing forever. Even had the Islanders lost, even if the Lightning win game seven and the Isles go home, they just put how many hundreds of millions, at least tens of millions of dollars into the renovation. It's going to stay open for concerts now. It's a concert venue for the rest of time. I mean, Elton John's going there in March. So how can you say it's closing forever tonight?
You're absolutely right on a factual level, but Bogus could tell you, living on Long Island, this Islanders run is treating it like it is closing forever. It really is. Nobody cares, and I have boots on the ground. One of my ushers there, who happens to be a family member, has told me there's already rumblings about closing it next year because they're going to lose all the concerts to Belmont after dumping all the money into it.
Is that possible, or are they going bankrupt because they gave the Schwartz family too many free Disney on Ice tickets?
And look, I'm the Schwartz beat reporter. If I don't see Schwartz tweet Michael Bublé tickets, as far as I'm concerned, there's not an event at Nassau Coliseum that he's not at.
Or the boat show?
And by the way, I'm still could be right. Or not show. Right factually. They lose game seven. It's the last Island in the game there.
Well, that's a little different than you tweeting season's over.
I forgot about that one.
Nassau Coliseum closes forever tonight.
Point, point.
To be fair, I forgot what? About the Ruick, the Upside Down Mike tweet.
What?
Mac and Bear tweets, good morning, guys. The coochie coo reference I thought was a throwback to Charo. I got that pun. Oh, man, I'm dating myself. But a good Canadian bacon from Mraz. AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
This is facts.
Well, here they go again. The Bucks survived an 0-2 hole against the Nets. Now they're playing from behind against the Hawks, dropping game one of the Eastern Conference Final last night at home, 116-113. Giannis, 34 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists in defeat.
You don't want to lose. You know, you don't want to be down. But at the end of the day, as I said, you can't get too high, you can't get too low. You got to come out game two, try to compete. And wish for the best.
You might want to play some defense against Trae Young as well. 48 points and 11 assists for him last night. John Collins chipped in with 23 and 15 boards. The Hawks have now won game one on the road in all three rounds. Game two is tomorrow night. The Suns and Clippers now in L.A. for game three. Chris Paul should be back this evening from COVID protocols, but still no Kawhi Leonard for L.A. Brad Stevens reportedly hiring Nets assistant Ime Udoka to replace Brad Stevens as head coach. Udoka has also worked for the Spurs and Sixers. And Zach LaVine and Pistons forward Jeremy Grant get the final spots on Team USA for the Tokyo Games. James Harden has pulled out with his hamstring injury. The San Diego Padres beat the Dodgers again.
Runners lead at first and second. 2-2. Here's the pitch to Albert. He swings and lines it to the left side. Manny makes the catch. Throw back to second is in time. Now that is a double play. And that is the end of the game.
Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. San Diego hanging on for a 5-3 win and a three-game sweep. Their first of the Dodgers since April of 2013. They have taken 7 of 10 meetings so far this season. The Giants, by the way, another win. 9-3-13. In Anaheim, the Jays a 3-1 win in Miami for a 4-game win streak. The Astros a 13-0 win in Baltimore for a 10-game run. And the Yankees blew a lead top 9, then scored twice in the bottom half for a 6-5 win over the Royals. Mark Emmert says the NCAA is working on interim rules for players to make money off their name and popularity. This would be a bridge to official name, image, likeness rules. 6 states have legislation taking effect on July 1st. MLS last night, Carlos Vela with a goal and an assist in LAFC's 2-0 win over Dallas. The LA Galaxy send Vancouver to its 5th consecutive loss 2-1, and Houston and Portland played to a 2-2 draw. And alone in the WNBA last night, Minnesota winning in Atlanta 87-85 after trailing by 18 in the first half. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, Major League Baseball, another PR black eye this week. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
On Saturday, a full day and night of sports begins at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific on CBS, with action in the WNBA between Washington and Dallas. Then at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, big names like Koepka, DeChambeau, and Dustin Johnson,
the scientist,
compete at the Travelers Championship. Then in prime time at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, it's another superstar Saturday night with racing under the lights of the Camping World SRX Series. That's all Saturday, only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
We thank you for being part of the DA Show this morning. The PGP is going to be out with a twist this week. We've got some post-production done to insert some of the best clips that we are referencing in the PGP. Mraz, do we have that uploaded yet, or is that a project for today?
No, it got up and posted right around tip-off last night of the Bucks and Hawks. So it's been up since last night. Go download that.
Excellente. This week's PGP, Permission Granted Podcast, is up and available right now. Find it on the normal DA Show podcast feed. Also, you can find that on its own podcast feed, the PGP. Search Permission Granted. Baseball is now littered with the scenes of pitchers embarrassing opposing managers who call for checks, or opposing umpires, or umpires who call for substance checks, by taking off their caps, throwing them on the ground, taking off their jerseys, palms out, taking off their pants. I mean, the whole thing has become very kind of ridiculous. And I do think tempers will cool once all these pitchers go through the annoyances the first time around. You know, everybody at work bickers and groans about changes at work, and then it happens, and then you don't really hear anybody bicker again after that. But it's, you try to get anybody to change to do anything, it's, oh God, are we going to do this? Oh man, there's always complaining. But I do think it's more serious than just your normal workplace complaints, because it's another layer of it looking like Rob Manfred doesn't have control of his league. And whether it was the cheating scandal with the Astros, where opponents wanted to take frontier justice into their own hands last year, whether it was, or whether it has been, the unwritten rules of baseball and what is good, what is not, whether it is pitchers who disagree with the pitch clocks, or hitters who disagree with keeping hitters inside the box, whether it's managers or players who disagree with defensive shifts or the banning of defensive shifts, whether it's minor league baseball players or owners who disagree with the contraction of the minor leagues, whether it's players who disagree with the owners, owners who disagree with the players. Last year, owners bickering with the players publicly about how many games they would play, when they would get back to the field to work, COVID protocols, whether it's Trevor Bauer bickering about Rob Manfred or anything else, it just feels like it's a league without stewardship. It just feels like it's a league without proper guidance. It just feels like it's a league without the leadership that it needs to keep things on the tracks. And eradicating... Wow, that's an Eli bark. That's a very loud Eli bark. Wow, okay. That's Eli basically in Merez's lap barking during this take. Merez, we got to get back to the studio here because you just can't be trusted.
I'm dying. I'm out of my normal basement with the door closed. I just shut down my mic. I can't take these two. They got to go to the pound.
What, Eli and Yankee Doodle?
They are literally the worst combination of dogs together in the world. They don't stop. The moment a mailman so much as whistles his way past this house, the barks go nuts. I don't even know. It's 7:55 a.m. I don't know what the heck they're barking at.
Maybe just somebody walking by for work.
Get them out. Get them out of the house. I'm sorry.
Get you out of the house. You got to get back to the studio.
I'm coming. I'm coming back, full-fledged, no dogs in my way.
The week after July 4th, July 6th, is when we're going to be returning back to the studio to all be together again. Together again. But we just can't have you getting sick and being phlegmy and dogs barking and Taylor on your lap. I mean, we're trying to run a professional outfit here, and I mean, you have really stretched the boundaries of what professionalism is.
Yeah, I'm demoralized, DA. I'm embarrassed, I'm mortified, and I'm demoralized at everything that's taken place in my life, and I also need to get home, too. We're on week 7.
You're living at your sister's house. Yesterday, during the show, your daughter's on your lap. Today, we've got dogs barking. I can't even get through my Rob Manfred team. I mean, this is a bad scene.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.